Horza, she said. Can we talk somewhere, not here? Horza looked up at her. Of course, he said, puzzled. Wubslin replaced Yalsin on the ramp. Yalsin walked to where Unahar Klosp floated over Nysin, its lights dim. It held an injector in one hazy field extension. How is he? She asked the machine. It turned its lights up. How does he look? It said. Yalsin and Horza said nothing. The drone let its lights fade again. He might last a few more hours. Yalsin shook her head and headed for the tunnel entrance which led to the transit tube, followed by Horza. She stopped inside, just out of sight of the others, and turned to face the changer. She seemed to search for words but could not find them. She shook her head again and took off her helmet, leaning back against the curved tunnel wall. What's the problem, Yalsin? He asked her. He tried to take her hand, but she crossed her arms. You having second thoughts about going on with this? She shook her head. No, I'm going on. I want to see this goddamn superbrain. I don't care who gets it or if it gets blown up, but I want to find it. I didn't think you regarded it as that important. It's become important. She looked away, then back again, smiling uncertainly. Hell, I'd come along anyway, just to try and keep you out of trouble. I thought maybe you'd gone off me a little lately, he said. Yeah, Yalsin said. Well, I haven't been... She sighed heavily. What the hell? What? Horza said. He saw her shrug. The small, shaved head dropped again, silhouetted against the distant light. She shook her head. Oh, Horza, she said, and gave a small, grunting laugh. You're not going to believe this. Believe what? I don't know that I should tell. Tell me, he said. I don't expect you to believe me, and if you do, I don't expect you to like it. Not all of it. I'm serious. Maybe I just shouldn't. She sounded genuinely troubled. He laughed lightly. Come on, Yalsin, he said. You said too much to stop now. You just said you weren't one for turning back. What is it? I'm pregnant. He thought he'd misheard at first, and was going to make a joke about what he'd thought he'd just heard, but some part of his brain played the sounds her voice had made back, double-checking, and he knew that that was exactly what she'd said. She was right. He didn't believe it. He couldn't. Don't ask me if I'm sure, Yalsin said. She was looking down again, fiddling with her fingers and staring at them, or the floor beyond in the darkness, her ungloved hands protruding nakedly from the suit arms and pressing against each other. I'm sure. She looked at him, though he couldn't see her eyes, and she wouldn't be able to see his. I was right, wasn't I? You don't believe me, do you? I mean, it is by you. That's why I'm telling you. I wouldn't say anything if I just happened to be... She shrugged. I thought maybe you'd guess when I asked about how much radiation we'd all absorbed. But now you're wondering how, aren't you? Well, Horza said, clearing his throat and shaking his head, it certainly shouldn't be possible. We're both... But we're from different species. It ought not to be possible. Well, there is an explanation. Yalsin sighed, still looking at her fingers, as they picked and kneaded at each other. But I don't think you'll like that either.
Try me.
It's like this. My mother lived on a rock, a traveling rock, just one of the many, you know, one of the oldest. It had been just tramping around the galaxy for maybe 8,000 or 9,000 years and... Wait a minute, Horza said. One of whose oldest? My dad was some man from a place, a planet the rocks stopped off at one time. My mother said she'd be back sometime, but she never did go back. I told her I'd go back sometime just to see him, if he's still alive. Pure sentimentalism, I guess, but I said I would, and I will sometime, if I live through this lot. She gave that same small half-laugh, half-grunt, and turned away from her picking fingers for a second to glance round the dark spaces of the station. Then her face again turned to the changer, and her voice was suddenly urgent, almost pleading. I'm only half-cultured by birth, Horza. I left the rock as soon as I was old enough to aim a gun properly. I knew the culture wasn't the place for me. That's how I inherited the gene fixing for trans-species mating. I never thought about it before. It's supposed to be deliberate, or at least you've got to stop thinking yourself into not getting pregnant. But it didn't work this time. Maybe I let my guard slip somehow. It wasn't deliberate, Horza. It really wasn't. It never occurred to me. It just happened.
How long have you known? Horza asked quietly.
Since on the cat? We were still a few days out from this place. I can't remember exactly. I didn't believe it at first. I know it's true, though. Look.
She leaned closer to him, and the note of pleading was in her voice again.
I can abort it. Just by thinking about it, I can get rid of it, if you want. Maybe I'd have done that already, but I know you've told me about not having any family, nobody to carry on your name, and I thought... Well, I don't care about my name. I just thought you...
She broke off and suddenly put her head back and ran her fingers through her short hair.